We are a very thankful people. We have many cards that have been submitted. We have others who responded on Realm or on Wednesday night, so it is a blessing to offer these in prayer to God today. We will begin with a question from our Heidelberg Catechism. Following, I will offer up these prayers of thanksgiving to God. We will conclude together with the Lord's Prayer, and then remaining seated, we will again sing this hymn, Give Thanks. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking God for them. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for so many things. We have many prayers of thanks for our family, our health, our friends, our church. For my family through the chaos of our daily life, I am here because of them. Without their love, I would be lost. I am thankful for forgiveness and a new day every day, for travel with family and new and old friendships, for my husband, for the peace of each day, for the peaceful death of our dog, for a good report from my doctors. I am thankful for my church family and the blessings God has bestowed upon my family. I'm thankful for youth, Jesus, Bible, school, sports, golf, country, America, UGA, and the dogs. In 2018, I am thankful for Sophie Pope and our wonderful children's ministry. Amen. For the ability to provide for my family and to be there for them every day. For God's grace, for being an American, my supportive wife, my church family and friends, my work family. I'm thankful for more time with my mom and the loving support of my husband. I'm thankful for God leading our family and myself to the wonderful community of MPC. I'm thankful for all here who work hard to make MPC a very special place. My sister and brother and all my nieces and nephews. Hospices, especially Sacred Journey. I'm thankful for my new church family here at MPC. I'm thankful for our MPC leadership, Nicole Locke, Destiny Williams, and Sophie Pope. For my grandson having a better year at school. The kind and steadfast love of God on my life and the love and care of my wife she has shown toward me. I am thankful for MPC and all the wonderful saints who make this a loving church home. For God's unending grace, a healthy family, and the opportunity to do God's work. I am thankful for family, friends, cake, and Miss Sophie. I'm thankful for the newness this year has brought to our family. We are so thankful for all the wonderful people we have met since our move here, for our church, our health, and so much we are blessed with as a family. For my health and the health of my loved ones, growing closer to God, feeling loved and taken care of. I'm thankful for the opportunities that I've had and for those who have been there in times that were not opportunistic. My family, my friends, my church, a loving Heavenly Father, and my healthy earthly family, especially for our son being sober for 2 years now. I am thankful for sunshine after rain, for friends who care, for good music and my son's wife, for daily blessings and joys, for a caring church family that is always there in times of joy and times of need. I am thankful that MPC sees beyond our walls and serves others on Sunday morning. For great kids and grandchildren, good friends in Sun City. For my family, my friends, my boyfriend who has helped me through hard times, and his family, and this church. I am thankful for my husband of 27 years and my daughter and her family. They give me such joy and happiness. Through the grace of God, I was led to my church family at McDonough Presbyterian. They have given me support, kindness, and love during the most difficult times in my life. Even with the frustration and pain, I am thankful I can walk. This seems so simple, but such things are often taken for granted. Most of all, I am thankful for Jesus Christ, my Savior, and the Lord my God, for all he has given me. Without his love and grace, I would have nothing. I'm especially thankful for the support of this church in tough times. I am thankful for the great leadership that you have given to our church during this interim pastoral period. In addition, I am extremely thankful for the support, direct care, and prayers given to me during my health challenges this year. I am thankful for Piper Wadsworth. I am thankful for the men's ministry, Clifton Men's Ministry, men's Sunday school class, men's breakfast, and all the works of service for the church building and the community at large. For the online streaming and technology and archiving of worship services throughout the year. I'm thankful for my family, good health, long time, and new friends. To be a part of a church that is a true display of being the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm so truly blessed, it's hard to know what I'm most thankful for. We are thankful for each other and the companionship we share, especially in our old age. From one of our members who had surgery this year, I'm thankful for the little birds that drink and bathe just outside my window. They remind me to pause for a moment and enjoy God's marvelous world. To remember he looks after them and me too. I'm thankful for my health, my medical journey that tested and grew my faith, for the prayers of God's people and his listening ear. Thankful for all the loving people in my life, for a loving God who sent his son, Jesus. And from one of our newer members, I'm thankful for the opportunities life has afforded me. However, I'm more thankful for the wonderful people who were there when life was far less than opportunistic. Like the child in Miss Sophie's children's moment, I have always needed something with skin. And God, perhaps this one summarizes it all. In 2018, I am thankful for everything. And Lord, we are thankful for everything. For in the good times and the trying times, in the joys and the sorrows, you are there, you are present with us. Lord, we are thankful that you call us to be a part of this family, to call us to be a part of your mission, and so hear us as one voice, as one family. We join you in that mission, offering the prayer that our Savior Christ has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
So God, we do give you great thanks for all of these things. And Lord, as we turn to your word, we give you thanks for the gift of your word in our lives. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. I think the section heading in the NRSV Study Bible pretty well sums up the passage. The heading is The Peril of Prosperity. Listen for God's word. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine homes and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth, but remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. Our New Testament reading comes from one of my favorite books of the Bible, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. This text is often read during Advent as it speaks of the coming of Christ. It's also an appropriate Thanksgiving week text as Paul speaks of that for which he gives thanks. Listen again for God's word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ Jesus you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So if you're on any social media channel or even on one merchant's email list, you've probably noticed that every day of the year is a national something or other day, or if not more than one national something or other day. For example, according to nationaldaycalendar.com, today, November 18th, is National Princess Day. Or, alternatively, and I promise you I'm not making this up, National Vichy Suisse Day. Take your pick. But long before National Vichy Suisse Day or National Pizza Day or National Cat Day, also known as Every Day in Our House, long because before all these national days became a thing, this week marks a series of nationally recognized days that we as a nation have been celebrating for many years, decades even, beginning on Thursday and ending on Tuesday. Let's start with the most well-known. Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. Friday is Black Friday, a national day of celebrating our love for sales and shopping, though I'm not really sure Black Friday is really just a day anymore, considering many stores started their Black Friday sales 2 weeks ago. Then comes Small Business Saturday. Well, that's a day I look forward to as I love shopping local. Still, it's a day focused on shopping. And then on Sunday this year, Christ the King Sunday, we as Christians take a Sabbath from shopping to remember that Jesus, not consumerism, is King. Interestingly enough, perhaps for lack of creativity on what to call holiday shopping day number three, nationaldaycalendar.com calls this coming Sunday Shopping Reminder Day. As if the ads in the Sunday paper aren't reminder enough. Next up comes Cyber Monday. Woohoo, yes. Lauren and I agree, that is my second favorite shopping day because as much as I'm an extrovert and love crowds, I choose shopping from the comfort of my couch over the discomfort of a crowded mall parking lot any day of the week. And finally, to wrap up the series of nationally recognized days, we have the National Day of Giving, or Giving Tuesday. A day started back in 2012 to kick off the holiday and end of year giving season. My snarky side always finds it ironic that Giving Tuesday is the last of the series of would-be holidays. As if to say, let's go shopping on Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and whatever money we have left, if we have any money left, then we will give it to charity on Tuesday. But in reflecting more on this weekend of high holidays we have coming up, I've realized it is a great picture of our lives as followers of Christ. We talk a lot in the church about how we are living in the in-between. In between the time when Christ first came and ushered in his kingdom, and in the time when Christ will come again, we will see his kingdom in all its glory, in all its joy, in all its laughter, and all its peace. On Thursday, we will give thanks to God for the blessings God has given us. On Tuesday, we'll be invited to offer some of those blessings as a gift to others. In between the two, between thanking God for God's gifts and offering ourselves as a gift to others, we walk through these days of commercialism and consumerism. And I don't just mean consumerism during the holidays or consumerism in its traditional sense of shopping. Consumerism at its heart says, it's not about God, it's not about others, it's all about me. The gospel calls us to be all about God and others. Not about me. The gospel calls us to be more like that Thanksgiving Day and that Giving Tuesday, even when everything around us tempts us to be more like those days in between, those Black Fridays and Cyber Mondays. How do we navigate this time in between Thanksgiving and self-giving, particularly in this holiday season? I've always believed in living in the present moment. I still do. I also recognize that's hard to do, particularly for us in an interim season when we're wondering what's next for MPC. The Bible itself can make it hard to live in the present, urging us to keep our eyes on the prize that awaits us, telling us we're citizens of heaven, not citizens of earth, and calling us to look for the hope to come. Even our two texts speak more to the past and the future than they do the present. But what they say about the past and the future tells us how to live in the present. In Deuteronomy, Moses cites one of the most commonly words used in the Old Testament. Paul cites it too. The word is remember. To remember means to recall the past. In this case, to remember the foundation of our Jewish brothers and sisters' story. That is also our story. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. And so when you see someone enslaved or in prison, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, remember that you were once enslaved. You know what it's like to be in prison. Remember who set you free. Or when you encounter someone who's powerless, remember you were once powerless, and remember who gave you power. Or when you want to cross someone who is poor, remember you once were poor. Maybe not poor in wallet, but poor in spirit. Remember who made you rich. And remember why he made you rich. To confirm his covenant. The covenant between you and God and the covenant between you and God's people. For they all are one and the same. That's why we took time today to offer up our prayers of thanksgiving. To look back on this year, to remember what God has done and to give thanks. I don't know about you, but hearing and reading others' prayers of thanksgiving reminds me to be a person of thanksgiving. To look at the birds, remember God looks after me just as much as God looks after them. To give thanks for the ability to care for one another in sickness and in health, in our youth and in our old age. To remember the opportunities God gives us. And to remember the friends God gives us to be God in the flesh when life is not opportunistic. Thanksgiving is all about remembrance. We can't give thanks unless we take time to remember that for which we are thankful. So what might be a biblical way this Thanksgiving to offer our thanks to God? Certainly one way is to do what we just did, to take a moment to look back at the year and remember what God has done this year. Another way is to remember what God has ultimately done for us and to do that for someone else. One of the other Thanksgiving traditions in our nation is the releasing of a turkey by our president. From Abraham Lincoln to John F. Kennedy, to when Ronald Reagan first used the term pardon with respect to a Thanksgiving turkey, to when his successor, George H.W. Bush, established the annual White House pardoning ceremony. We've had a long-standing tradition of pardoning a turkey and setting it free. But sometimes when I watch that ceremony on TV, I chuckle. Other times I appreciate the break it offers from the grimmer news stories. But it's not just a sentimental moment or even a reprieve moment. It's a gospel moment. Because what does that have to do with the gospel? What does it have to do with us today? Well, let's be honest. Each of us has a turkey in our lives. Maybe more than one. Someone who's wronged us, whether intentionally or unintentionally. I don't know who that person or persons is in your life. But I know who they are in mine, and you know who they are in yours. This Thanksgiving, what if we pardoned that turkey in our lives? And why? Because we remember. We remember when we've wronged someone. We remember when we were in need of being pardoned and having someone set us free from that burden of guilt, and someone did, and his name is Jesus Christ. As we prayed earlier, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a difference between remembering the past and living in the past. The difference is forgiveness. As we prepare to give thanks to God on Thursday, whom do you need to pardon? Whom do you need to forgive? Whom do you need to set free? Maybe it's yourself. Remember. Remember, when we pardon someone, when we say that injury, that wound, that burden no longer has power over us, the person you really set free is yourself. There is a difference between remembering the past and living in the past. The difference is forgiveness. The difference is grace. Paul knew what grace was. It's what kept him going. He lived for it. He lived what he calls the day of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't just the hope of that ultimate future of seeing Christ again that kept him going. It was also the hope of another future, perhaps a more present future, the hope of tomorrow. And that hope and that future is described in verse 6. I am confident of this, Paul writes, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. If you had to summarize all of Paul's writings in one phrase, it would be this: God began the work, and God will bring it to completion. In all of his theological discourse in Romans, and all his teachings about the church in Colossians, and all his ethical instructions in Philippians and elsewhere, the sum of it all is God began the work, and God will bring it to completion. Even in his own life, when the present form of God's grace, where he wrote this letter, when the present form of God's grace for Paul was prison, when for Paul the completion of that work of grace wasn't freedom for his body, but freedom for his soul, Paul clung to that same hope for his life. God began the good work, and God will bring it to completion. I don't know what this year has held for you. For some of us, it's been a really good year. For others of us, it's been a year. Maybe you're having a hard time believing God will bring to completion his good work by the day of Jesus Christ, let alone in your lifetime. Maybe you're having a hard time believing and seeing that God has begun a good work in the first place. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I am confident of this. Come on, Frozen Chosen. Turn to the person on your left and say, I am confident of this. And now turn to that person on your right and say, I am confident of this. Because that really is one of the reasons we gather together, isn't it? We gather together to be God with skin on and to speak confidence and hope for one another when we have trouble seeing it for ourselves, that God began a good work and God will bring it to completion. That's the sum of it all. And the invitation of it all is this: God began the good work. Will you help him bring it to completion? In 2 weeks, we begin the season of Advent, when we do celebrate that God came in the flesh for us with skin on, and we look forward to that great day of Jesus Christ to which Paul speaks. But there's another gift of grace that I love that comes with every Advent season. According to the liturgical calendar, the new church year begins on the first Sunday of Advent. That means as followers of Jesus Christ, December 2nd is our New Year's Day. We get a head start on the rest of the world. And so whether you're looking forward to saying thank you and fare thee well to 2018, or whether you can't wait to say good riddance to this year, you get a head start on the new year. As we prepare to ring in that new year in 2 weeks, consider a couple of questions. Are you living in such a way as to help God bring about the good work he has begun in your life and in the lives of those around you? If not, why not? What needs to change? What do you need to let go of, and what do you need to take hold of? What do you need to let go of this year in order to free yourself up to join what God is doing? And what promise or gift or task do you need to take hold of in the new year in order to really see that good work of God move forward in your life or the life of someone else? I said the new year for the church starts on December 2nd. That is true. But the new year can start for each of us any day. When we remember what Christ has done in the past, when we look forward to what Christ will do in the future, when we choose to live our present lives in between those two great truths, we discover new life, life in abundance. Thanks be to God.